Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. Using my sportscasting background, I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players to gain more insight on what makes this team go. As the Detroit Lions enter a new gritty era, we'll look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we preview the Detroit Lions free agency situation, looking at who Detroit has brought back so far, positions of need, and talk about players and positions the Lions might be targeting. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
This is Corey Schlesinger, and you are listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
I'm joined today, as usual, by James Cook, senior sports writer for the Traverse City Record Eagle. You can also hear him on the Get Around podcast. It drops on Mondays. Good to have you here, James.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Good to be here after the great season that they had.
And James, it's hard to believe we're back at it again here, that time has gone by. And the NFL Combine, it is taking place, and we're looking at the beginning of free agency here in just a matter of days. And the Lions have some big decisions to make on their own squad as they look around and see if there's some other players they might want to bring into Detroit as well. Now, we know a couple things, right? The Lions are getting so much better at building through the draft, and that is the key to having success in the NFL. But along with that, free agency moves also influence the draft. And the other thing we know is that things can get unpredictable in a hurry. So as I talked about in our last episode, the Lions have brought back some players already. Kicker Mike Badgley on a one-year deal. Linebacker, special teamer extraordinaire Jalen Reeves-Maybin on a two-year, $7.5 million deal. They also signed the free agent out of the CFL, Matt Betts. And we expect to see more players back as well. James, any thoughts on those first moves we've already brought up that have already kind of already happened for the Lions?
Yeah, the Betts move is interesting, I think. Just trying to exhaust every possible avenue. I mean, he's another, I don't want to say James Houston-ish, but, you know, kind of an undersized defensive lineman who's pretty much going to be a situational pass rusher if he makes the team. So it could be just James Houston insurance, you know, in case of another injury or anything like that. But it's not a bad bet. They didn't give him any guaranteed money. So, you know, if he doesn't make the team, they're not out anything. I guess the only other, most of the other futures reserves contracts that they got are guys from the practice squad. The most notable one, I guess, would be Traquan Smith. And I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce his name, but Natane Muti, as I'm going to guess, who was a sixth round pick by the Raiders, I think it was. And he's played 22 games. So in the NFL, so he has a little bit of experience, pretty big guard. So maybe gives them a little bit of depth there. Another practice squad guy, if nothing else. And then, you know, then Traquan Smith is a third round pick. He's 28 years old now, but he was a third round pick by the Saints. So, you know, a couple of the Lions who were coaches who were with him in New Orleans have some familiarity with him. So that's an interesting pick as well.
Yeah. You know, there's going to definitely be some move on the defensive line for the Lions this year. I expect a pretty good shakeup there, and we'll get to that position in a minute. And yeah, Traquan Smith, I remember him from about 4 or 5 years ago. I don't remember what he's done or know what he's done the last couple of years, but Bring them in. Maybe it's a Trinity Benson type move, and hopefully one that has a little bit better payoff than that one. But I would probably put it into somewhat of a similar category.
Yeah, yeah. He's a guy who I think is a long shot to make the team. I think he's a guy. He's an emergency policy in case they lose both Reynolds and Peoples-Jones in free agency, if they don't sign either of them.
All right. Well, another thing I want to remind the listeners too is that some positions can just improve based on growth from an offseason. And I want to point out the linebacker core, right? That was a major weakness of the Lions defense 2 years ago. And this past year, we saw so much improvement had taken place from players on the practice squad and even on the roster in general throughout the second half of that season that, yeah, they added a first-round talent in the draft, but across the board, the linebacking position did improve from 1 year to the next, with really only one player being a major catalyst in that as far as coming into Detroit. So we got to keep that in mind because you never know when things like that are going to happen, but it does look like some moves do need to be made. So let's start by taking a look where the team sits right now, and we'll start on offense, quarterback, right? We wanted the Lions to have a good veteran backup last year. We got one eventually, pretty late, but that was Teddy Bridgewater. This year, James, I don't think we see the Lions adding anyone substantial. We expect Hendon Hooker to be the number two. And then as a third, I don't know, you either bring in a veteran of some sort or you bring in another rookie. What are your thoughts on this position?
Yeah, most likely, you know, maybe they use an undrafted free agent spot or a very late draft pick for another quarterback if they want one. Or you just bring back David Blau on the practice squad and have him as your third quarterback, because your top two are pretty good.
Well, I think Nate Sudfeld could fit that category because David Blau took a coaching job with Washington. So he has gone to the coaching ranks these days. But Nate Sudfeld kind of fits that category that you're talking about, I think.
Yeah, yeah. If they want him, you know, he's a guy that they kept around last year and gave an injury settlement after he had that injury. And so somebody that could fill that role. You know, Teddy Bridgewater obviously retired. I'm not as worried about the third quarterback position this year as I was last year, because, you know, Hooker wasn't going to be available for pretty much most of the year. So that third spot kind of had a little bit more importance than this year.
For sure. And honestly, we just wanted a good second spot last year as well. And we got Teddy late, so that solidified it. We expect Hendon Hooker to be that guy this year. Let's move over to the running back position. All right. But now, I don't think we expect a whole lot here either, right? David Montgomery's got two more years left on his deal. Jahmyr Gibbs is going into year two of his rookie contract. Craig Reynolds and Donovan Knight are both exclusive rights free agents. So I'm thinking there's a good chance Detroit might want to bring both of them back, if not at least one of them. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, exclusive rights free agents are pretty much no-brainers because it's a one-year league minimum contract and they can't negotiate with anybody else. So it's pretty much something you just automatically do for anybody that you think can be a contributor for you. And I think Craig Reynolds and Zonovan Knight can both be guys who can be pretty good as a third receiver or third running back there.
Yeah, I agree with that, James. And, you know, we didn't even get to see much of Zonovan Knight before he got hurt. So that leaves one other person in this backfield. That's the lone fullback, superback Jason Kabinda. Now, we've seen the fullback being phased out in the NFL. Fewer and fewer teams are using it. What are your thoughts on superback Jason Kabinda?
I think that he is a guy that the team likes, as far as, you know, he fits the mold. He fits the grit, what they want as far as character in their players and the work ethic and all that. How he fits in the offense, I think, is the problem. In that, you know, they don't use that position too much, although, you know, they do get him in on the field for a few snaps here and there. He plays some special teams, so he has some use. It depends on if they find something else that they want to keep more, you know, because they showed last year that they could fill that role with a couple other players, you know, with Malcolm Rodriguez. I think all of the tight ends played fullback at one point or another last season. So, you know, they kind of built in some other options for there and might be able to save a little bit of money and get somebody else to that bottom spot of the roster there.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a numbers game. I mean, you know, Jason Kubina is called a super back because of his versatility and all the different things he does. That is his strength. And so that is definitely something the team values. And I don't see a lot of movement in the running back room in general when the dust settles on training camp and we get ready to go into the season. But I do want to bring up that there is unpredictability, right, throughout everything, even the stuff we're going to talk about, because look no further than last year, right, James? We all thought Jamal Williams was coming back at running back, but free agency opened and he had not signed. And the Lions then quickly pivoted to David Montgomery. And the key was last year for the running backs was not necessarily improve, but at least maintain. And Detroit did that with Montgomery. I think we probably are in agreement. Montgomery, Williams, and probably Miles Sanders were the top three running backs. And the Lions needed one of them. And you and I were both thrilled that David Montgomery became the guy in Detroit. Bummed that Jamal Williams wasn't able to return. It couldn't work out something. But we're both pretty happy with the way everything's worked out with the Lions and David Montgomery.
Yeah, and then you had the late monkey wrench thrown into the plans last year when Justin Jackson just retired suddenly out of the middle of nowhere during training camp. So they didn't have a chance to go out and really get anybody else. So there's always those kind of things that can happen too.
Exactly. That's another great point, which is why it's kind of exciting thinking if you're going to come back with Craig Reynolds and Zonovan Knight, you're looking good there. Free agency, again, I don't see them bringing anybody in here. And again, just looking to possibly re-sign two or three of those guys there. So let's go over to pass catching, and we'll go to the tight end position. We know we've got Sam Laporta and James Mitchell. They're the only two that are currently under contract, but we do have Brock Wright and Shane Zylstra. Zylstra was injured all year, but expect him to be healthy to come back. Are we expecting the Lions, you think, to bring both of these guys back? Are we thinking they might be bringing somebody in? What are your thoughts on this?
I think that they'll bring Brock Wright back for sure. Both of them are restricted free agents. So in order to bring back restricted, if you want to actually make a restricted free agent offer to them, you would basically be offering them a one-year contract for either 2.9 or 3.1 million. They do the 2.9 probably with those two guys because they weren't draft picks. The only reason to put the 3.1 is then you would get draft pick compensation if you lost that guy, if somebody else came in and got him. But neither of those was drafted, so you wouldn't get anything. So you put the lower thing on them for 2.9 million. I don't think they do that for Zylstra. I think that they do that for Brock Wright. I think that he's worth that as a solid number two tight end in the NFL. But you never know. And, maybe they find somebody in the draft and they just were like, okay, well, now this guy is our number two or something. And, and then you've got James Mitchell also still in the last year of his rookie contract this season. And then he'll be a restricted free agent next year.
Yeah, I mean, with Sam Laporta's emergence, that really helps take some stress off of this position. James Mitchell, another year removed from that injury. I think people expected him to be a little bit more involved last year. He did have some moments where he looked pretty good. And, just maybe one more year removed keeps him in the system a little bit longer. And maybe you start to see him flourish a little bit more. And I got to believe most Lions fans are pretty happy with our tight end group, everybody in that room. And so I'm not expecting much of a change up there. You're right, they might see something late in the draft or something, but we got a lot of time before that. Let's move over to wide receivers. Josh Reynolds and Donovan's Peoples-Jones are free agents. I think that most people are expecting Reynolds to re-sign. The question then becomes, what about Donovan's Peoples-Jones? And is he someone that gets re-signed? And are the Lions happy where they are at the top end of their receiving board? What's some of your perceptions on the receiving group?
I think that they'll probably only re-sign one or the other between Reynolds and Peoples-Jones. And obviously, if the contracts are close, that'll probably be Reynolds, I would say. Peoples-Jones, according to SpotTrack, is valued at 2.8. They value Josh Reynolds at $7 million a year.
Wow.
At his market value. I don't think that he's going to get that. And if he's going to ask for that, I think the Lions may just move on. It is a pretty deep draft class at wide receiver this year. So you can find something in the middle rounds after the Lions have kind of addressed more need talent issues with their top few picks and maybe get a a wide receiver there in the middle rounds who can come in and do something for you fairly early.
Yeah, you know, I was thrilled when the Lions re-signed Josh Reynolds after that half of a year stint with the Lions when we picked him up off of waivers. And he has been great. I know some people want to point out the couple drops he had in the NFC Championship game. I will point out after that, later in that game, he had a big catch. And he had multiple big catches in other playoff games and throughout the regular season for the Lions. Josh Reynolds is a great, great player for this team. I really hope they're able to get him back on a one-year or two-year deal. I think he is an awesome number three, number four guy on the roster. You know, I don't know that the Lions are going to spend a lot of money here, though, at this group. You know, you're going to be spending a lot of money on Amon-Ra St. Brown quite soon. So as far as free agency goes, do they bring somebody in? Because remember, they brought Denzel Mims in late in the game last year. I mean, they were looking to add something, even though you have Sam Laporta there. You know, the big talk is they don't have that tall, outside, lanky guy. And we drafted Antoine Green, but he didn't really see the field a whole lot last year. If the Lions did go for a wide receiver in free agency, it would not be a big money one. I think in general, we're not thinking there's going to be too many big money moves, more like middle of the road type things. And we can look at that, like David Montgomery and Cam Sutton were their two big moves last year. I mean, you could add CJ Gardner-Johnson into that too, I guess. But those weren't record-breaking, astronomical, expensive ones. As far as receiver, you know, you got people talking about like Mike Evans and throwing other big names out there. That's fool's gold right there. I think the Lions are pretty good where they are. They might want to add an outside guy, though, at a medium contract or wait for the draft, because you mentioned how deep that is. What are your thoughts on that outside spot?
Well, they got that insurance policy at Tre'Quan Smith, who is that big receiver. So, I mean, maybe he could slide in as your number five guy and kind of be a red zone type receiver. He doesn't play special teams, so that doesn't help his case, or he hasn't for a few years at least. So, you know, that doesn't bode well for a backup wide receiver for the Lions. But I could see them totally taking a wide receiver in the draft at some point. There seems to be pretty good value kind of throughout the draft. I could see him maybe with that extra third round pick.
But what about in free agency?
In free agency, I think it's going to have to be somebody who's willing to take below market value to have a shot at a title, you know, and maybe some veteran who has some tread left or something. Could be that guy. I'm not sure what kind of receivers are out there that you really think could be that guy that aren't going to be big money free agents, like, you know, Michael Pittman, Mike Evans, Calvin Ridley type guys. And I don't think they're going to go for anything like that unless Mike Evans, you know, really wants to chase a ring and will give them a super cheap 1 year deal or something. I don't see that happening.
No, the Lions are going to spend that money on Amon-Ra St. Brown, and that's a smart spot to send it. So let's get to the offensive line. This is where things start getting a little more interesting, maybe more interesting than people realize. Jonah Jackson, Graham Glasgow, Vaitai Nelson, and Skipper are all unrestricted free agents. Now, Vaitai is probably retiring. I'm fully expecting Graham Glasgow to come back. I will be very, very disappointed if this does not happen. I'm hoping on a two-year deal, maybe even a 2 to 3 year deal, either one. Jonah Jackson, you know, he's younger. He's going to cost more. And so there's the question of, can the Lions afford that? Is Matt Nelson healthy enough to come back? And, you know, Skipper, I think he's found a good role here. So what are your thoughts on bringing these guys back before we start looking at free agency moves?
Glasgow, I think, yeah, they'll definitely try to look at him and get a 2 or 3 year contract, like you said, kind of a mid-range contract, you know, in similar, I think, range to what he was making last year, maybe a little bit of a bump. You know, the Lions do like, or have the last few years liked, giving their guys a little bit of bump when they re-sign their own guys from within the organization rather than giving that money to somebody from outside.
And Glasgow took less money to come here than he probably could have gotten in some other places. He just wanted to get into Detroit. He proved his worth. So, yeah, it makes sense he's going to want a little bit more money.
Yeah. Jonah Jackson, I think, could be too expensive for their taste, although maybe with the salary cap going up as much as it did, maybe now that's a little bit more palatable. So that could be something they could, I could totally see them re-signing him. I could see him maybe re-signing on a 1 year deal at a reduced rate because he was hurt so much last year that I don't know how many teams are going to be willing to spend big money on him in free agency. So he's kind of in that Emmanuel Mosley thing with free agency, maybe not as severely as Mosley, but I think the injuries last year kind of will scare some teams away a little bit on him. Skipper, I think they'll probably bring him back on a 1 year, you know, league minimum deal like he was last year. Nelson could be out on the outside looking in, depending on how some of the young guys do and what they do in the draft, because it's a decent draft for linemen this year as well. You know, this draft kind of fits into a lot of their needs as far as what's available.
Well, yeah, we know the Lions are going to be looking for two starting guards this year. They're not on the contract right now. We expect one of them to be Glasgow. The other one could be Jonah. It might be somebody else. So there could be a free agency move to bring that in and shore that position up without having to wait for a rookie in the draft. They also need some depth. And then we're talking right tackle, left tackle. We're really lucky Sewell and Decker stayed as healthy as they did, because when Decker missed some time, it was a little rough. It wasn't as smooth. And we just know how much more dominant they are when they have the healthy guys in there. But we didn't have the depth behind them. And at the combine, you know, Dan and Brad talked about the depth part and how much they value that for a team. So it'll be interesting to see if they do make some free agent moves to bring some guys in. At guard is probably the position I would expect the most. And maybe even at one of the tackle positions. But then in the draft, I fully expect maybe a center or a guard or even a tackle to get drafted. And we'll get into that gets closer. But I think you're right on that as far as they're going to be using the draft. But they might need some free agency moves in the meantime as well.
Yeah, I saw one mock draft that had the Lions trading out of the first round and then getting a bunch of extra picks and then using four picks on offensive linemen throughout the draft. And I thought that was a little bit much. But one interesting name in free agency, actually there's kind of two who have ties to Detroit. Laken Tomlinson, who I think is a little less likely, just got released by the New York Jets after a couple of good years with the 49ers. And Evan Brown, you know, who's a free agent this year, and it probably won't be a big name in free agency or get a big contract. He could be kind of like that stealthy Glasgow signing last year.
Yeah, well, Evan Brown was with the team the year before. So exactly. Campbell, yeah. Holmes, they know him. They know what to get out of him. Laken Tomlinson is just one of those mind-blowing players in the NFL that the Lions draft and then just leaves and then like makes a Pro Bowl somewhere else. It's just like, what the heck? So, yeah. And it was a first-round draft pick at that for us. So, yeah, you know, I would love to see Evan Brown come back. I think that would be an awesome guy to have back in there because we know him and he knows us. And if it works out, that could be a great depth piece, whether he's the number three guard on the roster or whatnot. But I think that's a good chance of that.
And he plays center, so he'd be great insurance for Frank Ragnow.
Well, let's jump over to the other side of the line then, going from the offensive line to the defensive line. And I think we're going to see some changes here. We've got Benito Jones and Tyson Alualu on the inside, Romeo Okwara, James Houston, Charles Harris, also free agents on the edge. Julian Okwara has signed with Philadelphia. So I think the Lions are going to bring some of these guys back, James, but I don't know about bringing all of them back. What are you thinking?
Yeah, Alualu maybe. I think if they do, it'll be somebody after the draft once they see what they've been able to do in free agency. And, you know, and he might be just a guy you add in the middle of the season again if you think you need something there. I think the Lions value Benito Jones more than the fans do. So I think he's somebody that they would re-sign as a restricted free agent. They may not give him the restricted free agent offer. They may let him test free agency and then bring him back, try to bring him back cheaper. Which I could totally see that happening. I mean, because, you know, the restricted free agent offer is $2.9 million. That's a lot for a defensive tackle who plays at most 40% of your snaps, probably on defense. So I could see them bringing in Benito Jones back as a free agent a little bit later on in free agency. I think for the most part, the rest of those guys, they let walk. You know,
except
I could
for
see
James
Romeo
Houston.
Going. Except for Houston, yeah. Yeah, I consider him more of a linebacker almost, hybrid okay. Outside linebacker. But he's a restricted or an exclusive rights free agent. So I think that he will be back next season for sure. That's pretty much a slam dunk. But, you know, the other guys, I could see Romeo joining Julian in Philadelphia. You know, Philly needs defensive lineman help. After, you know, they were so strong in the defensive line when they went to the Super Bowl. And last year, it just it kind of fell apart on them.
For sure. And, you know, Matt Betts, that's one of the guys the Lions have brought in on the D-line. It wouldn't surprise me to have them bring somebody else in on the line, potentially defensive end position. And again, I don't think the Lions are going to go for a top name, a $25 million, $20 million contract of sort. But this could be one that maybe fits into the area of the Lions spending last year on like the David Montgomery thing. Not the same price point, but somebody higher up that's going to add a little something, a little more stability to that defensive line. Because we know whether it's the other edge opposite of Aiden Hutchinson or up the middle, the Lions need to get just a little bit more push up there.
For sure. I think that they could go for it in defensive or in free agency on the defensive line a little bit. There's a decent number of defensive linemen that are free agents this year that could really step in and help them right away. You know, Danielle Hunter, Christian Wilkins, Chris Jones, obviously. It looks like the Chiefs aren't going to franchise tag him. They're going to use that on somebody else. So he's going to be somebody. I think they can't franchise tag him 2 years in a row. You know, I think he's going to be a free agent. He'll be like the prime defensive line free agent and be like one of those $25 million guys you mentioned. But there's other guys. You know, there's all kinds of other, you know, Chase Young's a free agent. Jadeveon Clowney's a free agent. Leonard Floyd, Za'Darius Smith, we know from the NFC North are all free agents. And so there's guys out there that I think can help them and come in and be pretty good defensive ends. And then I, of course, think that the Lions will spend one of their high draft picks on a defensive lineman.
Yeah, I would agree. I think they'll try and grab somebody in the draft. And this is a position, one of the two positions I think they might spend, make one of those middle of the road moves when it comes to finances. You know, put a little bit of money into somebody that they see that is good and has some upside. So, because we know that is a position of need. Going to linebackers, this group shocked the heck out of us. We already brought this up before, but yeah, they drafted Campbell in the first round, but Anzalone and Barnes made improvements. The return of Jalen Reaves-Maven to the Lions. You still had Rodrigo, plus you had Pittman. Now, the only free agent in the group, I said is, but now was, Jalen Reaves-Maven. We re-signed him, and I don't really see any major moves happening here. You maybe bring a guy in for depth or two in training camp, but I'm feeling pretty good about our linebacking core. Anything you want to add or change?
Yeah, Pittman is a restricted free agent, so they probably, I don't know that they're going to give him that high of a contract, but I see him somebody that they like to bring back. He's a guy that I don't think they're afraid to put on the field, but he's also a core special teamer. And then, you know, this team values that, I think, more than most. So I think you'll see him re-signed at some point in free agency for not a big deal, but maybe a 1 or 2 year deal for, you know, under what the restricted free agent value is.
All right, well, then let's move to secondary. And this did not go the way I thought it would last year. We signed Cam Sutton and Emmanuel Mosley, and then we got C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And that was quite a group right there, and I was thinking we might have a top 10 defensive secondary, especially with the drafting of Brian Branch. Unfortunately, injuries hit two out of those three guys hard, right? Mosley and Johnson. And most of our defensive backs on our team are actually free agents right now. And so the Lions are going to bring some of these guys back, I think. And I think they should. Kendall Vildor, Jerry Jacobs. They're both free agents. I wouldn't mind having one of those guys back, not as our number two guy, but as a three or a four DB. I would like to see that happen. And the number two spot, I think that's where Cam Sutton belongs. A lot of heat got thrown his way. But I really feel like if you get him in that number two spot, you're going to see him play much more confidently, much better, and have much more opportunistic matchups. What are your thoughts on some of those things?
Yeah, I think injuries really hit all three of those free agent signings. Cam Sutton was playing on a injured foot, I think, the whole second half of the season, maybe even three quarters of the season.
For good point on that. I forgot about that. So, yeah, that affected his play as well.
Yeah, and they had to keep throwing him out there because they didn't have anybody else. So like he had to play through that foot injury, and you could tell he was different than the first four games of the season or so. I mean, those first four games of the season, he looked great. And then, you know, so yeah, I think re-signing Emmanuel Mosley is still a possibility. You know, he coming off a torn ACL, he's not going to get anything in free agency. So why not just bring him back? They obviously liked him last year, bring him back in a similar contract and let him run it back. They kept him around last year after he tore the ACL and he was helping out with the other DBs and, you know, being pretty active with a team for a guy who was out for the season and I'm going to be a free agent. So I think they like him enough that they bring him back.
Yeah, I love the idea of bringing Mosley back. And I just love it. I really hope it happens because of the potential there. Now, we can't go in thinking he's going to be our number two or number one defensive back. He gets knocked down to like three or four or five at this point just due to his health concerns. But like you said, for the contract and the opportunities and the possibilities and the fact that he was around the team, that seems like a no-brainer. You got to bring that dude back. And if you brought a guy like Vildor back, that would be good. But I got to ask you, what about C.J. Gardner-Johnson? He's technically a safety, but you've got Iffy and Kirby, and we know that Tracy Walker has been released by the Lions. So there's a little bit of shuffling going on back there.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked to see him re-sign similarly. You know, he's got a different, unique personality that I don't know if that fits in a lot of locker rooms, you know, and I'm not even 100% sure if it fits into the Lions locker room, but they liked him enough last year to bring him in. He was an effective player when he played and, you know, I could see them bringing him back. But he's going to want, I think, a bigger contract and try to find that somewhere else first. And if he doesn't find that, then I think you can see him coming back to Detroit and wanting to run it back.
Yeah, I'm not as bullish or as optimistic maybe as you are. I do agree. I think C.J. Gardner-Johnson is going to look for a bigger contract elsewhere. And I think he's probably going to get it for a couple of reasons. One, if there's an area the Lions are going to spend a little on free agency on in the secondary, I think it's going to be to bring in a higher ranked defensive back on the outside. I mean, I think you'd agree. We're probably going to draft one in the first few rounds somewhere as well. But I don't think we want to wait till the draft. I think they want to bring somebody in that can put Sutton at two or 1A, 1B, however you want to do it. And you know you got Iffy and Kirby in the second as the safeties. You'd either have to bring in somebody else as a backup at a better price than C.J. Gardner-Johnson, or you'd have to draft for that as well.
Yeah, yeah. I think with Iffy, Kirby, and then Branch, who can play there as well as safety, you've got other options. So whether if they don't bring back C.J. Gardner-Johnson, it's not as huge of a thing. I think corner is the bigger priority here. They can always, if they want more depth for a fourth safety, they can always bring back Will Harris, who's another one of those players who the coaches like a lot more than the fans do. And I think they'd be okay with having him as their fourth safety next year on a pretty reasonable contract. You know, and I don't even, it's possible that Tracy Walker could even come back. They cut him because of the contract. Right. So he could be somebody who could be back on a cheaper contract in free agency.
And that would be a welcome return. Then as far as kickers go, the Lions brought Mike Badgley back. Riley Patterson, as you informed me, ironically enough, re-signed with Jacksonville. So we at least know we have the money Badger again, but Brad Holmes said expect competition there. Might be somewhere in the draft, undrafted free agent, or they bring in some free agent out there to compete with him. And so, just looking things over, the Lions probably need some defensive back help, some defensive line help, offensive line help. As far as high price guys, I don't think so. But I do think you might see a couple guys whose names you do recognize because they do want to solidify a couple of their weaker spots. James, any final thoughts on the free agency preview as things get ready to get going here in the next days?
Yeah, I think if you're going to find, I mean, the Lions have, I think, what, $57 million in cap space. They're going to use a big chunk of that on re-signing Amon-Ra St. Brown. Although that's going to be money that's, you know, his current contract is already figured into that 57. So it's not really a account to this year's salary cap. It'll affect the years after that. So because it'll be an extension. You know, so, but I think that they do have a lot of room to re-sign their own and then still add two or three free agents like they did last year, like Cam Sutton, Emmanuel Mosley, you know, some pretty good guys like that. I imagine at least one of them is going to be on the defensive line. At least one's going to be a corner, and then they'll look to find one more. If they don't sign Jonah Jackson, you know, another lineman.
I agree. And the increase of the salary cap does not hurt making that possible either. James, thanks so much for being here. Great talking Lions with you.
I hope to keep doing it, man.
We will. We definitely will, especially as we get closer to the draft and free agency gets going. And folks, that free agency frenzy is here shortly. We will be sure to recap all the moves the Lions make. Thank you so much for tuning in, folks. You can find all the episodes at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. And while you're at it, tell your friends about the show. And please subscribe, regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.